Hey, Holly.
Hey, Dave.
What is going on today on the What Difference Does It Make podcast?
It's another great day on the What Difference Does It Make podcast, a particularly good day.
Why would you say that?
We have a guest, someone we have been listening to for years on a variety of stations in Los Angeles, and we are so excited that she agreed to come on to the podcast and talk about some old K-Rock music with us. We have Tammy Heidi.
Tammy Heidi, indeed. She was on K-Rock, started in the early 90s. Before that, she was in Boston at BCN, so she's going to have a lot of stories about Boston. You might have actually heard her on Singled Out on MTV. Tammy has always charmed us. Every time she turns on the microphone, something witty came out of her mouth and always endeared us to her talent. And so we wanted to get her on the show because we knew she's a music fan, and I think that she's got some things to say.
She's got some things to say, and she's currently also saying them on the wave.
94.7 The Wave. Still.
We're thrilled to have Tammy with us today.
Correct. So we're going to count down the hits as we do. 1985 is the year. K-Rock is the station. They have 106.7 songs that they had on their list. We are currently looking at songs 80 to 71. So why don't we get right into it right now on the What Difference Does It Make podcast?
With Tammy Heidi.
Okay. Yeah. You look. Okay. There you go.
You're perfect.
Oh, of course.
Of course. Okay. Oh, my God.
Is that a landline?
No, it's my sister. Yes, it is. I know. I'm old school. Yeah.
Wow. A wireless caller.
Hey, Terry, I'm doing a Zoom meeting call podcast thing, so I'm going to have to call you back. Love you. Bye. That was my sister.
Lovely.
Terry and Tammy.
Yep, Terry and Tammy Heidi.
Really?
Terry Lynn and Tammy Lee. Yep.
Terry.
Well, are you from the South?
You would think so. No, was born in Western Pennsylvania, a suburb of Pittsburgh. So that's where I spent my childhood, the Wonder Years. And then Connecticut, and then Massachusetts, and now California. Grew up on, I haven't grown up yet, obviously. Yeah. None of us have.
One day, yeah.
But I was a youngster raised on Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. That was QED Pittsburgh, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. KDKA Pittsburgh, listen to what we started. So, my dad and I would listen. And I remember, when the Beatles, I think it was like 1964, I Want to Hold Your Hand came out. And the morning DJs on KDKA were riffing on that. And they're like, it's I Want to Hold Your Ham. No, it isn't. It's I Want to Hold Your Hand. So, I mean, I grew up with that.
That is amazing that you remember that. That sticks in your head like that, like something from... Yeah.
Well, jingles, you know.
Yeah.
Don't you remember that from KHJ, 93 KHJ?
Yeah. Yeah, but not, I mean, you're just a kid. In 64, you were.
A baby.
Yeah.
I was still in the womb.
Right.
There was a microphone set up.
Okay, yeah.
And that's a reel-to-reel tape recorder at home.
And that's stuck in your head. That's funny. Yeah, because, I mean, I just remember things from, I don't even remember things from yesterday, but, I remember things maybe when I was a teenager, but when you were...
What is your earliest memory? Mine is sitting in a high chair and I was eating carrots and I threw them up. And what I was amazed at was the reaction of like the babysitter and my sister. And I guess I realized that was a performance and I got a reaction. I got laughter. So I guess
it's a good story to tell.
So you recognize the funny and you recognize clever slogans and like radio. So all of a sudden,
there is kind of broadcast in my background. My aunt was the one that told me when I was like a girl and a teen that, oh, Tammy has such a nice phone voice. She worked for the phone company. She worked for Ma Bell for many years. Her brother, my uncle, Ray Scott, was a CBS Hall of Fame sports broadcaster. He broadcast the Ice Bowl.
I'm Ray Scott. I'll be calling the plays for you during the first half of today's game. To my right is Jack Buck, who calls the plays for the Dallas Cowboys, and you'll be hearing Jack during the second half. Jack, Your thoughts here as we're moments away from the kickoff.
I think it's very cold, Ray.
Our analyst for this afternoon's game is Frank Gifford. Frank, your thoughts.
It's the coldest field I've ever seen for football.
Well, one thing I guess is pretty obvious by now, ladies and gentlemen. About every type of raiment is seen here at Lambeau Field today, and by any yardstick, it's just plain cold. It is indeed cold in Green Bay.
If you look up Ray Scott and his younger brother, Hal Scott, they were in radio and TV and broadcasting. Also, my mother, Wilma Scott Heide, was national president of NOW from 1972 to 74. So she was an orator, a speaker, and it's in my blood. Wow. You know, yeah. I can't escape it. I am what I am. I was born to do this. My dad also still alive. He's almost 94. He lives in Sarasota. I've been back and forth three times since May, taking a plane, big, brave girl, taking a plane during COVID, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have flown.
Yes,
but,
you do what you gotta do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, up in the air, on the air, right? So, he has a really deep, rich, resonant voice. And when he and my mother were first married, they had a radio show in the South, in Georgia. I think it was, my dad's name is Gene. My mom didn't like her name, Wilma, and she liked her middle name even less, Louise. So she was Jan. So it was Gene and Jan. And they would talk to whoever was coming into town. It was a small town in the South. So again, it's genetic, and the fact that my dad God's name is Gene. So anyway, I make all these crazy connections
because that's what you do. That's your thing.
I'll shut up for a minute.
No, so it is in your blood. So it's in your, it's definitely.
It's in my DNA. Definitely.
Yeah.
However, I went on the website for The Wave. You're doing some work with The Wave, and your bio says making things up is just part of Tammy's charm. So I'm not sure. Are we supposed to believe all your stories?
That's going to be up to you, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it? Okay.
I mean, the truth is sometimes overrated, don't you think?
I agree. Yes. Why let the truth get in the way of the story? Correct.
Exactly. I serve the story. I serve the joke. I serve the music. You know, I serve out the platters that matter.
And the truth is malleable.
Yes. Right? Well, yeah. As long as I agree with it, yeah.
So the truth is you started at Emerson, or like your radio career kind of?
Emerson College, yeah. WERS. I went to Emerson College, and I also volunteered at MIT's station, WMBR, formerly WTBS. But when Ted Turner was trying to start up his company, he bought the call letters, and that kept the student-run station on the air for many years. But they changed to WMBR, and then I interned at WBCN for the Morning Man, Charles Lockwood era, on the big mattress. And then I got hired in 1985 as a part-timer, and then I did nights. And then in 91, I segued to K-Rock because I wanted to work. It was like I was setting the goal. I was like, that's where I went to work. I had started visiting a college friend, Bonnie Stern, who had moved to LA, and I visited her, and she lived in Laurel Canyon at the time, and there was this lookout. You could see the LA basin to the ocean, and I stood on that lookout point.
Was it by Joni's house?
By Carole King, the tapestry house. Yes, right around the corner from there. So all that Laurel Canyon history too, I looked out and I said, oh my God, I could rock this town.
The Tammy Show.
106.7 K-Rock.
Are there birds chirping in the background?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe we were in love.
Oh, right on.
So it happened. I feel like I manifested it. And I also feel like things unfold organically and they happen when they're supposed to happen, if that makes any sense.
I think so. Yeah.
I do. And I don't know. when you think about how many people want something like that and you made it happen, I mean, that's a really big deal.
I realize my career trajectory is not the norm for people starting out in radio because my alphabet of radio station call letters is like the Hawaiian alphabet. It's only, you know, 13 symbols. Most people, like, the goal was to get to WBCN in Boston,
right?
Let alone, I mean, the two commercial radio stations I first worked for, WBCN and then K-Rock.
Yeah.
I mean, All right. Check me out. Yeah. I'm on the radio. All
right. Right. So that actually fascinates me, how you got into Boston is, you know, top five market. How you, like, right out of college, was it, how did you get this gig? You know, I guess it was Oedipus is the...
Oedipus was the program director that hired me. And he started at, when it was WTBS, MIT station. He got discovered from doing college radio. Then he became the program director. And he heard something in me. I graduated Emerson in 81, but I didn't get hired until 85, you know, as a part-timer on BCN. And it was because I was focusing on doing other things. I was doing the college radio. You know, we've all done radio for free, I'm sure, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. And also don't chase the money. Don't follow the money. The money will come. Do what you love. So anyway, yeah, Oedipus hired me because he'd heard me on WMBR, the Late Risers Club was a popular morning show. And he said, you know, I heard you the other day. You're really funny. You're smart. You have info, blah, blah, blah. You know, would you consider doing a part-time shift on? I'm like, hello? Can I sweep the floors? Yeah. I'll do anything. And that's how my uncles, who I mentioned, Ray Scott and Hal Scott, they just started hanging around the radio stations and doing whatever. And it's like being an understudy. You know, somebody couldn't come in, they're sick or whatever. Here's the mic, put on some headphones, do it. So learn by doing.
I have wondered since the first time I heard you if Tammy Heidi was your real name.
It's Tamara Heidi, but yes, it is. And I wouldn't come up with something that cheesy. I do have a lot of fake names. And even when I was a kid, I would make up characters. Carroll College. Like I had my little play telephone and a play typewriter and a desk. I had Bear Baby Strong. I would run around in my mom's fuchsia scarf and nothing else around the house. So, yeah, I've been making up characters, and now I'm Tamale Hottie, Trixie Hijinks. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of characters. It's I'm every woman. It's all in me. As Peter Wolf of the Jay Giles Band says, and he was an original BCN disc jockey. Mm-hmm. If it's in you, it's got to come out.
Okay, so tell us how you did manifest, you did get onto K-Rock. Were you knocking on the door there, or was it someone you knew?
Well, my program director, Oedipus, and I said, no, I want to work at K-Rock. He said, well, there's an Infinity, the parent company at the time, managers meeting next week. Why don't you put together a tape? I'll sell it. He came back and said, well, they like you. They like the tape. They don't have any openings. I said, okay. So if something comes up, I was on the air nights and at BCN, and I said, you know, I never talked to Andy Schoen and Trip Reeb, the program director and general manager myself. It's 3 hours earlier there. I'll just call them. And so, you know, I called and said, hey, it's Tammy. You know, I'm going to be out there in a few weeks anyway, visiting. Can I just meet with you guys? Sure, sure. And like a week after that, they called Oedipus and said, Swedish Eagle left. So we have an overnight opening. Would Tammy be in? Yes. Yeah. You know, you say jump, I say how high. Basically, it started overnights and a couple of weekend shifts. And then it was broadcast from the palace with me and Doug the Slug, Slug Sadie Spence, Doug Sluggo Roberts, now on afternoons with Kevin on KLOS. We broadcast from the palace, and it was just a blast. Then the poor man debacle, and nights opened up, and then middays. So yeah, it was, I just got my foot in the door because they knew me because I had, you know, sent the tape that my program director Oedipus had helped me. That's how, again, organic. I realized that I've had a very charmed, I'm blessed. I'm thankful every day. And when I was on K-Rock proper, I would wake up every day before my show and say, holy show, wow, I am on the air in the middays in Los Angeles. When are they going to realize what a big mistake they've made?
Imposter syndrome.
I guess. Yeah.
But it wasn't, honestly. Right. There are a few names of jocks that we remember, and Tammy Heidi is one of them. My wife is not a big radio fan at all. And I said, I was talking to Tammy Heidi. She's like, I loved her. You know, it's these.
Wow. Well, that's really nice to hear because you don't know. And, you know, there's an old saying, two joints later, they forget your name.
I've never heard that.
Me.
What?
You're kidding.
We're talking with Tammy Heidi. You're probably thinking, why are we stopping? Well, you know, somehow this has got to be paid for. We can't do this for free. We've got to take a break. We've got to do something. Why don't we just do that? Stop it, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Welcome back to the What Difference Does It Make podcast and our guest, Tammy Heidi.
So aren't we supposed to be talking about music?
Oh, I know. What? Fine. Okay. So what we're doing here is we're looking at the year 1985. K-Rock had their 106.7 top songs of the year. We're looking at 10 songs at a time, and it's every 10 songs, just kind of, we kind of find a theme, or it's just kind of a nice little snapshot of some forgotten classics, some songs that we love, and others are like, what the hell was going on there?
You hate, and it's like, why did this happen?
Right.
Why is this on my radio? Actually play this?
Yeah. Like, yeah, this is amazing that this was on the air. This is crazy. Yeah. All right. So we're going to go through the songs. We've got you with songs 80 to 71. I gave you a cheat sheet. Have you studied up?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Again.
I wrote the answers on my hand.
Making things up is part of Tammy's charm. That's what we've learned. Okay. So here we go. Okay. So number 80, a lovely German lady named Nina Hagen, Universal Radio. I fell back in love with Nina Hagen after watching this. Like I went down a little rabbit hole, like, oh my God, what an innovator. What an amazing.
You know, her first name is really Catherine Nina Hagen.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I and it's know. Nina, not to be confused with Nena 99 Luftballons. Yeah. It's spelled differently. I'm a word nerd too.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Universal Radio. So what does it mean to you? We're kind of Universal Radio here on Zoom.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
That's true.
Yeah, she was ahead of her time in many ways.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Did you watch the video of like her concert, that little clip from Rio? I guess it was probably a Rock in Rio.
To do that, right?
You don't have to. You didn't have to watch it.
I listen. Okay. Is that good enough?
Yes, of course.
So what wants to make radio a visual medium, and I don't. Maybe I'm a purist.
You're familiar with Nina Hagen and her work?
Yeah. You know, in the 90s, she was hanging out Rodney Bingenheimer, Rodney on the Rock, who was my first introduction to K-Rock was those compilation albums at Cantor's and at the Kibitz Room. So Nina in the maybe late 90s was hanging out there where Rodney would always hang out. So, and my now ex-husband was a big fan of her. So he would go to Cantor's just at the chance of meeting Nina, and he did. So whatever.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So Nina Hagen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you want to go to the next song?
Yeah. All right. Well, yes. Fine. Are you going to drive the car? Yeah.
No. I'm a passenger. Iggy Pop.
Yeah. Okay. So let me quickly ask you that the 80s was not particularly kind to women in the music industry. Now that you kind of representing what your mom, was important to your mom, you know, did you have a hard time sticking to your guns or, just like this morning show you described, like, you had to press your breasts against the window. I mean, was there?
I wasn't pressing mine.
No, but that's
not where the pressure was coming from. Does sexism exist? Is misogyny so deep that some people don't even realize that it, it's in them? Yeah, that is true. And it's like, Mom, your work here isn't done. So I'm proud to, be second, third, fifth, whatever wave of feminism. I mean, feminism is the radical notion that women are human beings. And my mother was a humanist first. It was human rights. We're all people, trans, gay, black, white, Asian, Pacific Islander, whatever. We're just one human race. So I just like to get back to humanity. And I love that music can facilitate that. There's a song for everything. And at this point in my life and career, everything is a song trigger. It's almost like a Tourette syndrome. I hear a word that might be a song. Like if you said universal, I might say radio and start singing that song. It's magnificent. It's beautiful.
I did get that feeling when we were texting back and forth, like, oh my God, this is Tammy's got to, everything was a cue. That's when I knew you were going to be a great guest.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's kind. I don't have an off button, or if I do, I haven't, like, there's always a radio show going on in my head. Always, always, always. I've just always had this childlike wonder and curiosity.
All right, Tammy, you're going off target here. Come on. We got to stay on target here.
Reel it back in.
All right, here we go.
Focus.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So general public, this is number 79. The song is Never You Done That. In case you didn't remember, we're talking about songs from 1985 that that K-Rock played. Feelings of general public, were you, did you like them? Were you more like,
love them. I was more an English beat girl, I guess. But I wanted to be the two-tone girl because I wanted to be a go-go dancer when I was, like 6, 7, 8. that was my, so now I get to go-go dance around in the studio. I can go-go dance for you guys, but that's going to cost a lot.
Money well spent.
Who would have guessed? second night was just as good. By the end of the week, we were living as one. Gone 2 years now, we're still together. Day in and day out, for however long, it's the kind of love that could last forever. Day in and day out, for however long, each time we kiss, you're the perfect stranger. So we say,
so you were a Dave Wakeling fan. Did artists come into the state when you were at BCN? Did you get a chance to talk to people?
But at K-Rock, maybe. Did you?
K-Rock, well, again, that was 91, July of 91 and on. I'm told that when the station was in Pasadena, Van Halen comes up and knocks on the door with their demo. Artists would come and because it was the hang. It was the place to be.
Yeah.
It was, you hand delivered the music you made to the disc jockey who was on the air. So that stuff happened. And that stuff happened at BCN, but not necessarily with these artists. The Cars, maybe, till Tuesday.
The Del Fuegos. I remember them.
Oh, God. I love the Del Fuegos. Yeah. I went to the one of the at the Paradise there. They were taping for the video for I'm not sure what song, and myself and some other real fans got mad because they had hired a bunch of models to be in the front row so that the models got on camera, not the real fans. But whatever, I'm not bitter about that. I'm not bitter. Party of one, your table is ready.
I always remember the Del Fuegos were like, because I was in college or something, we were like, oh, the first, like an indie band was selling out already, they had like that beer commercial. Well, it's like, that was a big deal.
People said they're selling out. It's like, no, they're monetizing their art. They're getting paid. They're maybe making a living wage.
Yeah. No, we realize that now, but at the time, back in the day, like, hardcore. How dare they?
This
is my band.
At the Del Fuegos video shoot, it's like, this is my band. I should be in this video.
Yeah.
Me and all my cool friends, the college radio. And, I was a BCN and I was really too cool for, to play Foreigner or this or that. You realize it's like, well, maybe you have to play those familiar hits to get someone to listen to The Clash or to listen to Del Fuegos. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, and that was Oedipus's philosophy, was if I have to play bands I don't necessarily like. And I was a snob about the band Boston. Brad Delp, God rest his soul, one of the nicest human beings I've ever met, but I didn't really like the band. I appreciate them now. I appreciate them in retrospect, but very snobby and very precious about music.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what being young's all about. That's,
being
snob.
Being a jerk.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure
when you worked at Newberry, you were at High Fidel, like the Jack Black or John Cusack, like just, just making assumptions, like when someone bought something that you didn't appreciate.
Well, I have some Newberry comic stories to tell.
Oh.
I sold John Belushi the cassette of Decline of Western Civilization and also the Fear cassette.
Because Fear played on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And they were banned. And they were banned right after they played.
All right. No fear.
But to your point, Dave, we do feel like we own the music, or to yours, Tammy, we own it. Like, that's the way we felt with K-Rock.
It was precious. This is our thing. Yeah. And WBCN was kind of like that to Boston, K-Rock was to Los Angeles.
Let's keep moving on. Jeez, we've got so much song. Oh, my God. What the hell's
all
going on?
All this talk. Ugh. No time for the music.
Enough of my yapping. Howard Jones,
Yay.
Life in One Day. This guy's got a real positive attitude. He's every song is just life is wonderful.
Things can only get better. Things. And I love that most about him. I'd never met him, but just reading about him and, you know, looking up songs. Yeah, his positive attitude will get him everything. And he's kind. And that's important. And it shows in the music.
The old man said to me, said, don't always take life so seriously.
He has that happy look. If you look at any of his performances, he just looks happy.
Sweet and, yeah. And childlike. Not hardened by the world. And aww.
Yeah, right?
Just hopefully
group
not
hug,
now.
Group hug, everybody. Group hug.
Did you watch, Dave, this video? Or did you guys?
Well, I
didn't do my homework. Okay? All right. I didn't watch the video. I just saw the song titles, and I figured I'd fill in the rest.
All right.
Am I bad?
That's fine.
No.
So he had in this clip a pretty amazing mullet. How do you land on the mullet? What is your do you like this hairstyle?
Well, when I worked at Newbery Comics for a while, Amy Mann, before Till Tuesday, her band Young Snakes worked there. And when it would get boring, she would cut my hair. So I had really short hair for a while. It kind of looked like Macaulay Culkin.
Okay, we're going on to number 77. This is someone who you actually talked to, according to your bio, although, you know, occasionally you embellish. This is David Bowie's Loving the Alien. Tell me about David Bowie.
Well, my meeting with David Bowie was, I think it was in the 90s. It was David Bowie's 50th birthday. And it was when he put out David Bowie stocks.
Yeah, that's right.
And they had at Universal for like 25 or maybe 50 K-Rock listeners, a Q&A with David Bowie, and I moderated that. So that was my meeting. And I remember asking him, are you having the time of your life? And he said, yes. David Bowie, I thought, was from another planet, you know, Ziggy Stardust from, like, I thought he'd always be here. I thought he'd always be here. So, you know, his passing, it's like, I know he's there. I feel everybody's always been here. I feel that this is the vessel that has captured the energy that has always been me, that will always be me, as with you, as with you. He's a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. He has a right to be here. Just a magnificent human, like a superhuman, I think.
I would agree.
Yeah, no argument. I'm sure your mom is talking you up right now to Bowie, kind of.
They may be hanging out.
Yeah.
She did when my sister and I were going through her papers, found communications with her, with John Lennon and Yoko Ono around the time of their bed-in, because Yoko was having problems. They had some communication with my mother about, you know, feminism and human rights and the whole thing, you know, Yoko and John's struggle. So, yeah. So, again, connections. You know,
wow.
All these connections. Yeah. Powerful stuff. I know.
Okay. So this is an LA artist, Danny Elfman.
Danny
What's his
Elfman.
Name? Danny Elfman. Oingo Boingo, which is like, they were an LA band. And I don't think, were they big in Boston? In Boston, did you
East
know
Coast?
Of this band?
No. Yeah, we did. But okay. We kind of looked at them as like a wannabe Devo.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, that's something to aspire to be, Devo. It was LA. It was definitely West Coast. Yeah. It was definitely. And again, Danny Elfman, such big friends with everyone at K-Rock at the time.
Yeah.
It was a yin yang. You couldn't really have K-Rock without Oingo Boingo, like the Halloween shows. And to this day, fans want Danny Elfman and Boingo to get back together. And that gets back to being precious. And it's like, but you promised us. It's yeah. almost like, but mommy and daddy, get back together. I thought you loved us. Why won't you? It's like, well, we can love both and understand that that was then, this is now. It's always going to move forward. And if just being in Boingo is going to hold Danny Elfman or anybody back, why would you want that for this artist that you love? Why are you so selfish? Why don't you sit in the corner and think long and hard about what you've done to this musical family?
It's time to reflect. Yeah. Okay.
Danny Elfman is a national treasure, a musical genius, a visionary, so creative.
So we do need gratitude for Danny Elfman. Cue the music.
Life's been so good to me. Has it been good to you? Has it been everything that you expected it to be? Was it as good for you as it was good for me? And was it everything that it was all set up to be? Now is that gratitude? Ooh. Now is that gratitude?
There
gratitude
we go.
Is always the attitude, not just with Boingo or this, but just in life every day. Gratitude for being here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gratitude's the attitude.
So Boston's own the Cars. This must have been BCN must have claimed them as their own, or what was the relationship between with the Cars and Boston and the station?
Just, you know, old buds. I mean, Aerosmith was the house band,
but
the Cars definitely, you know, we definitely played them. And when I worked at Newbury Comics, Synchro Sound, the Cars studio, was right across the street. So different members of the Cars would come in. I think David Robinson would come into the store. I don't know if Rick did, but I would see Rick, all 6 foot whatever of him and 5 foot one of me at Spit, which was a nightclub on the radio station BCN was right around the corner from Fenway Park, like so close that you could be hit by a fly ball coming out of Fenway Park. I just remember one time being at Spit and Rico was there. He was so kind because I'm like looking up, and so he sat down on so we could kind of see face to face. They were just really cool, as Rodney Bingenheimer would say, "It's all happening. It's all happening."
I know tonight she comes. She's taking a swipe. Gives me a reason for setting my sights. Well, I know tonight she comes. Oh, she jiggles me up. She does it with ease.
Did you work any clubs? Did you spin there at all?
Mm-hmm. The Channel, and what was it called? It was called Streets. And Streets, Digny Fignis was booking that club. He's also a musician. He had a song. She's the girl with the curious hand. You may have seen that video.
She's a girl with a curious hand. She's a girl with a curious hand. She's a girl with a curious hand.
Anyway, he booked Streets and he booked REM. He booked Bad Brains. He booked all these bands that nobody had heard of that were coming up. And I remember REM playing and Michael Stipe. He had that curly hair at the time, that cute mop, but he turned his back on the audience for that show. And Streets, that club was kind of like the size of like the Roxy or the Whiskey. So so I did do some club DJ.
All right, let's just plow through these. Come on. All right. Number 74, this is a band called U2, A Sort of Homecoming. I think the version they were playing was not from Unforgettable Fire. This was from their live version of Wide Awake in America. How aboard were you on
YouTube? Where do you stand on
YouTube? Yeah, where's your stance on YouTube? Are you
love, not a hater?
Yeah, still to this day.
Yeah, and I understand. Even Bono recently has said, I understand why people get bugged by me. But, you know, he calls himself Bono Vox, good voice. I mean, seriously. So he's got to have a bit of an ego. I went to that first U2 show in America at the Paradise. I remember exactly what I wore. It was like a zebra striped dress. And I was in my Edie Sedgwick phase. I wanted to look like Edie Sedgwick. I remember seeing them at the Paradise, met years later at K-Rock. And a girlfriend of mine from Boston was dating the road manager for U2, Giles Baxendale. Sounds a little English.
That's not a real name. No one has that name. No, that's a James Bond villain.
That's how I feel about Cumberbatch. It's like, that can't be a real name.
Yeah, right?
Benedict?
What is his first? Engelbert Humperdinck. Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch? Engelbert Humperdinck? Giles Baxendale? Who are these? Tammy Heidi?
Yeah.
Come on. Get real.
Yeah. A Sort of Homecoming. Did you like that song? Did that make you happy? Did you?
Yeah, I did, because it kind of reminded me. There was a Till Tuesday song about homecoming, coming up close. Everything feels like coming home. So, and I kind of associate U2 with Boston because of the relationship that BCN had and Carter Allen had, and, you know. We all had.
All right, Holly, I'm kind of curious because you're a huge U2 fan. Do you like the studio version or the live version that's from this? I know and actually you never choose. So
I know it's very hard to choose, but the live version, I mean, they're both really passionate, but the live version is probably.
That is the correct answer. That's what I was looking for. The live, that is the correct. Ding, ding, ding.
U2 specifically, I think it's rare for me to like the live version because I'm so used to hearing the hits and, you know, the produced and that.
Right.
And if I wasn't at the concert, like, why do I care that some other person is having fun? Why do I want to hear that? But I think U2 has successfully captured the energy from the live and brought it. So someone hearing the live version won't be like, why is this live? They feel it. So
yeah,
the live version wins. Oh.
80s U2 live versions are just phenomenal. Yeah. There's something about that band. That was the be all end all.
You could connect if you were at the concert. You kind of felt like I'm right there, and sharing this joy and putting this out into the world with them.
Yeah. Okay. Let's keep moving. We got three more songs. So number 73, Fine Young Cannibals, Johnny Come Home. Roland Come Home? What's where is Roland Gift? And how much do we, I mean, this Johnny Come Home, this is a great song. I also listened to Suspicious Minds, their cover of a song. And that's phenomenal great. Too.
And love that song.
Unbelievable.
And playing, you know, Fine Young Cannibals on K-Rock HD2, Rock of the 80s. And I played them in college radio.
Yeah.
I don't know if they made it onto BCN. Yeah. And Roland Gift is just, he is a gift. I mean, he's just a beautiful human. Just to look at his face and his presence and then his voice. I mean, he's like a blue-eyed soul singer to me.
Nobody knows the trouble you feel. Nobody cares. The feeling is real. Johnny, we're sorry. Won't you come on?
By the way, yes, he is beautiful. He, in 1990, he was one of People's 50 Most Beautiful People.
Yeah.
Number 72, ABC, How to Be a Millionaire. Okay, so this is from the album, How to Be a Zillionaire. And then you buy the album, and it's How to Be a Millionaire. That's the name of the song. Talk about your bait and switch. I don't know what's going on here. I wanted to be a zillionaire, and now
you're getting some advice.
I thought I was, but I was not.
Do we have to turn into a Karen and speak to the manager?
Yes, I would like. Please.
Yep.
Do you like this song? This is kind of a fun little
thing. I like all the ABC songs. And Martin Fry, I just love him. I've never met him, but I love that he self-references in songs. Martin, maybe someday. And that was the thing about being the host on K-Rock HD2, Rock of the 80s, was I could relive my college radio years. And get my yah-yahs out. And it's just so fun. It's so fun. I mean, being a disc jockey, and I say to myself, I go, check me out. I get to play songs that other people wrote, recorded, and performed. And I get paid a little money for it, too. I mean, you know, like we said earlier, we've all done this for free. We're all doing this for free. We love doing this. It is so fun. It beats working for a living. It beats a kick in the head. Just to, again, share it with people. Like, I feel like it is a record party, a play in a record party. Although, you know, I'm the one playing it. And whether or not I choose, do I have my favorites? You know, sure I do. But commercial radio, it's right there in the name. Somebody's got to pay for the broadcast equipment and the this and the that and the hair and the makeup and, you know, the whole thing to get it to happen. So, yeah, college radio, that's the most fun you're going to have with your clothes on or off. It's the most fun you can have. It is the most fun you can have.
Yeah, I know.
So maybe we can apply some Martin Fry knowledge, how to be a millionaire doing that.
Yeah.
Pounds, dollar,
millionaire,
dollar,
pound, pound,
dollar.
I've seen the future. I can't afford it. And tell you the truth, son, someone just bought it. Say, Mr. Whistler, get on the click of dice. Roulette and blackjack, builders of paradise, larger than life. Ugly. If we have to live there, you'll have to trust me. Maybe these luxuries can only compensate for all the girls you would get.
Like the hands of fate.
All right. Although we do have to wrap it up. I mean, come on.
Time flies.
I know.
We must be having fun then.
I know.
Okay. And the last song.
Oh,
the
what?
Last song.
All right. We got
Burn It All Down.
Another LA.
This is the band, another LA band, kind of like Oingo Boingo. X was a K-Rock band. I don't know how much they made it over to the East Coast, but...
Oh, they totally did.
Oh, okay.
Because when you were mentioning Del Fuego / Records, they were on that. Yeah, totally down with X. It totally played on college radio and somewhat on WBCN. Certainly, I'm guessing on FNX later. X, just huge, huge Los Angeles band. They are Los Angeles. There was that album called Los Angeles, and just the personalities in that band. John Doe, Exene Cervenka, or she was going by Cervenkova for a while. I found out recently that she has MS, and I also was diagnosed with MS about 20 years ago. But when she was diagnosed, I think it was more like 10 years ago, I talked to her because I was introducing them at I think the Whiskey or the Roxy or somewhere here, talked to her about it a little bit. But I've connected with her through the years in Los Angeles. She had a store in Silver Lake that was brilliant, a brilliant store. Mm-hmm. It sold like vintage stuff, but never used, like old stock wrapping paper, you know, stuff from 50s, 40s, mm-hmm. you know, 60s, whatever. It was a great store and I would always go there. So big connection with X personally, and also, you know, through playing them on the radio. And Burning House of Love,
So this was a song where they're kind of swinging for the fences. This is like they're trying to do this is like their rock radio song. They've got a new producer. It's not Ray Manzarek. They had a professional video. They're like, okay, we're gonna this, we're hitting the big time. Did it hit with you? Do you like this song? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm more connected with it. Was better the new world. It was better before. What's his name?
Oh,
this
yeah.
was supposed to be the new world. But yeah, maybe Burning Hustle. Maybe they're like, all right, like you said, swinging for the fences. Let's just throw all the spaghetti against the wall, see what sticks. Let's just go big. Let's go big or go home.
Drive by my house late at night. You can see from the freeway above. No silhouette, but a light left on.
Yeah, go for it. And the amazing thing, I talked to both John Doe on the air and Exene, I think separately, but about the fact that they were a couple and then they split and then they each had, I think, their first child on the same day with someone else.
Is that right? Wow.
Like, how freaky is that? Like, that's part of the cosmic, like, whoa, there's a connection. So they both, I think, had their first kid with another partner on the same day. But it's part of the cosmic.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's the burning house of love working there,
it
right
is,
there.
Yeah. The burning house of love.
Ain't love grand, don't you?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Love makes the world go round. Love is the answer.
Love is everywhere.
Love is all you need.
Okay.
I mean, what all the songs are written about, really, right?
Right. Yeah. I know. Where would we be without love songs? Some people think we've had enough of silly love songs.
People are still having sex.
No.
That's a song, too.
No. Really?
Love. Sex, rock and roll. Yeah. Hello. It's all happening.
It's all happening. I know. I feel like I need a cigarette after this talk. Oh, my God.
Something. I'm going to let you go.
You've earned your take. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. You go. We don't want to let you go. Come on, Tammy. We still got. I told you we were going to extend this.
Still daylight
songs.
Yeah, I could still see. All right, let's keep going. We're going to go to number one. Here we go. Let's go. Number 70. Here we go.
Oh, God.
All right. Can we call you a friend of the show now? Okay, let's. We're going
to. Call me Tammy. Just, yes, you can. Yes. Friend of the show. Friend to all.
That's
it was
radiant.
A pleasure to meet both of you.
Yes.
It was so nice to meet you,
for
too.
For sure.
All right, kids, I'm going to let you go.
All right. Thank you so very much. This was wonderful. And yeah, we'll talk.
Very
we'll talk again.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll reach out to you when we need you again, which may be
when you need my
services. In an emergency. Yeah, emergency situations. We need that. We'll call you on the bat phone.
Carpe that diem.
You too. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye. All right. We did it. We got through songs 80 to 71 from 1985 that was played on the world famous K-Rock in Los Angeles. Did I get all that? I feel like we talked for a long time with Tammy, so I'm a little winded. I think it was well worth it. She was everything I was hoping that she would be, you know, listening to her. And more, yeah.
Quite a personality, yes. I was thrilled. This was my first time meeting her, and she was better than we could have possibly hoped.
Yeah, so we talked for a long time. That is why we have a YouTube channel, and Holly is in charge of that, and she will tell you all about that.
Look for us on YouTube, What Difference Does It Make podcast. You will find plenty of outtakes from our chat with Tammy Hill.
Just, you know, youtube.com/ What Difference Does It Make podcast. Or just do a search for What Difference Does It Make podcast. Yeah. Something like that.
And same on all social media. We'll post clips on all our social media at WDDIM podcast.
What a great idea. Social media, the future.
That's what I've heard. These kids.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up this little podcast fun time show that we do here every Friday. We do this every Friday, so subscribe and you'll be pleasantly surprised at whatever amazing guests we have.
Never miss an episode.
You don't want to miss an exciting, fun-filled episode. So let's wrap up this one. Until next time, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.